5 is where we'll start. This is part 3 in our faith series. Faith's important, isn't it? Praise God. It's your part. Faith's your part. He did his part, now he says do your part. That's faith. Praise God. Mark chapter 5. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful. And Father, I consider this such an honor to be able to share your word with such precious people. Father, people that I absolutely love with the bottom of my heart. But Father, people that you died for, Lord, you love them so much. And so, Father, your heart's desire is that they would be fed this morning, that they would get something, that they would be able to walk out of here, to change their life, to make their life look more like the word, more like what you have planned for them. And so, Father, I pray that you would speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, I endeavor to speak as the oracles of God and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it. And Father, I thank you that we'll hit bullseyes in hearts this morning. And Lord, it'll be a sign unto people. Because Lord, I'm going to say something that is so pertinent to each and every buddy's life in here. Father, it's going to be like I'm speaking directly to them. And that's because of you, Father. And when that happens, Lord, that's a sign that you love us, Father, that you're real. And that, Father, this is a safe place where we can come and hear from heaven. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read down through it because I love this story. It says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, your faith, hallelujah, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. And so this is part 3 of the series. This woman's life was in shambles, but her life was made whole. And the Bible tells us why her life was made whole, because of her faith. The first message we looked at, why faith was important, and this has jumped out to me. You know, the Bible said that there were multitudes thronging Jesus or touching Jesus. And yet, when she touched him, something changed on his end. He felt something go out of him. Virtue or power, what's the power? The power was the power to heal her. But what's interesting to me is that all those people were touching Jesus and it didn't faze him. He never said, ooh, who touched me? Who touched me? He only did it one time. The person that used faith got the power of God to work in their life. Amen? Here Jesus was with the power all the time. Everywhere he went, he had the power. He was a carrier of the power of God. The power of God is present everywhere. God doesn't change. God doesn't leave. God doesn't take a nap. God doesn't sleep on the job. He's always powerful. He's always able to heal, always able to bless. But notice that the only way that you get the power to go out of him is if you bring and show up in that place with faith. She showed up different than every other person, and she got something different than every other person. So I think it's important that we learn faith, because your situations that you're struggling in, financially, physically, relationships, emotionally, mentally, job, whatever, you need a car, you need a house, you need clothes, whatever it is, you need power to go to those things. The power of God, because the power of God will change it all. We'll turn the whole thing around. Well, how are you going to get the power of God? You're going to have to show up with faith. You want to get something out of him, you got to show up with faith. Faith extracts the power of God. Amen? Amen? The power of God stays there dormant until somebody makes a demand on it, and faith makes a demand on it. And so we saw that the first week, and then last week, we're not going to take a lot of time, but we saw what faith is. We saw that faith, and you better get used to this, that faith is dealing in the unseen realm. The only reason that you need faith for healing is because healing doesn't look present. The only reason you need faith for finances is because finances, it doesn't look like the money's there. And so that's why you need faith. And so faith is dealing with the unseen realm. So that should help you. So when you're in the midst of a financial trial, a physical trial, whatever trial you're in the midst of, and there's no sign of it looking like it can change, that's okay, because that's the realm faith thrives in.
Amen.
Amen. We saw that faith through Abraham was a faith that's not concerned with the circumstances. Circumstances become irrelevant to the person that's in faith, right? It said he considered not his own body, now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He said the circumstances don't matter, even though in the natural, one body and two bodies have to be working to make a third body. He said, I don't care that one body's not working. I don't care that two bodies aren't working naturally. Doesn't matter. The circumstances are irrelevant. Hallelujah. It said that he became fully persuaded, convinced, non-wavering. I mean, he was certain that baby was going to show up. And we asked you, are you certain? And remember we did the water bottle example where we dropped the water bottle and I asked you how many would believe that when I opened my hand, the water bottle would hit the ground. And all of you that were in here raised your hand and said, I believe it would hit the ground. And it did. Well, are you as convinced that your healing's coming, that your prosperity's coming, that that situation's going to turn? Are you as convinced as you were that the water bottle, because what was that? Well, that was faith for the water bottle to hit the ground. You believed without a, you were persuaded without a shadow of a doubt that that bottle was going to hit the ground. You had no doubt, you had no waver, you knew it wasn't going to hover, you knew it wasn't going to stick to my hand, you knew it was going to hit the ground. Well, do you know the healing's coming? Do you know that the prosperity's coming? Do you know that situation's going to turn? If you can honestly take out your spiritual magnifying glass, look at your situation, say, you know what? You uncovered some things for me. You showed me that I'm not so sure that it's going to turn. Well, that's what this series is for. We're trying to help you to get faith and use faith. And so here we're going to go to part three. And you can go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. You know, faith, I often say it this way, has to be birthed. Well, what is birth? Birth is the beginning, yeah. Right? Amen. That's the beginning of, well, I should say it this way. It's the beginning of life. Out here begins before then. We're going to look at that, but everything has to have a start to it. And what was the start of faith? Because something was different about this woman than 12 years she didn't receive what was rightfully hers, but this day she got it different. But what got the ball rolling? Well, verse 27 tells us, it says, when she had heard of Jesus. Notice what she did when she heard. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. What got the ball rolling? She heard. The hearing started the faith. Go to Romans 10 and verse 14. Because think about it. Had she never heard about this word of God, which the Bible calls Jesus, had she never heard that there was Jesus, guess what she would have been doing this day? Staying home. Jesus would have walked right by her town and she would have missed it. And she would have been 12 years in one day, no healing, and the year would have gone by, 12, 13 years, 14 years, and the whole time it was hers. But what changed it? What didn't change it was God tracking her down.
That's right.
That didn't change the situation. She heard something, and then she did something with what she heard. But Romans 10 and verse 14 says this, how then shall they call on him? Well, didn't she call on Jesus that day? She sure did. And we call him in many different ways. We call him for salvation. We call him to help with our kids, our money, our bodies, our relationships, our jobs, whatever, our businesses. It says, how then shall we call on him? How can we look to get something from him? How can we make a demand on what he has if we've not believed? But then it goes on and tells us, and that's what he's saying, how can you call him if you don't have faith? But he says, whom they have not believed. He says, how can they call them if they've not believed? And how shall they believe? Or you can say it this way. How shall a person have faith? How shall a person be able to make a demand on God, the one thing that gets God to move? How shall they have faith if they, what's it say? How shall they not believe in him if they have not heard? You see it there. So what precedes faith, which faith is what gets God to move, what precedes faith is hearing. That's what happened with this woman. She heard of Jesus, faith came, and then she was able to receive. Well, this verse tells us. How can you call if you haven't believed? And you can't believe without the hearing. Praise God. So you got to hear. So now, it's kind of like this. If you think about the beginning processes of faith, it has to be, think about a natural childbirth. And we're going to look at this in different stages here this morning. When it comes to natural childbirth, there has to be conception first. Two parts coming together, right, to create another part. There has to be a conception at first, but then there has to be a gestation period, right? The nine months in the womb where the baby's growing and getting the nutrients it needs and it's forming and developing the way they're supposed to. And then there's a delivery. You know, a baby doesn't just all of a sudden show up one day in the hospital. There had to be conception, there had to be gestation, and then there was a delivery. It's the same way with faith. Faith didn't just show up miraculously in this woman's life this day. She went through those steps. And so I want to take a look at those this morning, and I want to look at the conception of faith. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Because faith has to start somewhere. The faith that you need for what you're going through has to start somewhere. To get to the victory line, which is the manifestation, which is the receiving, you don't just end up, if you're, you know, an Olympic athlete that's going to win a gold medal, they don't just end up at the finish line in first place. No, there was a whole process where it started, right? Where they committed to it, where they started to train, and then they were able to end up at the finish line. It's the same way with faith. Matthew 14, in verse 22, same way with faith, the faith that you need, and we're teaching you how to get faith, how to use faith. We've already showed you it's very important. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent away the multitudes. And when he had sent away the multitudes, he went into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. They cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it's you, bid me or invite me to come onto the water. Jesus said, come. When Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So the Bible says that Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But what was the first? So here something happened that was impossible. That we've talked about this before, but you know what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And you need to get this in you. Peter did something that was impossible that he never thought he could do. You know, you're facing things that it's been that way for years. You know, you look like there's no natural way out of it, right? And it looks like you can't get by. It looks like things are just going to be the way they've always been. And that's the way it was with Peter. Just Jesus telling, you know, Jesus is there. And, you know, we can't walk on water. We can't get out of a boat in the storm, you know. But Jesus said something to him. He said, come. Well, when he said come, that was Peter hearing. Hearing the word on something that he normally couldn't do, right? Just like this woman, she didn't know. She went to doctors. She spent all her money trying to get doctors. 12 years had went by, but she heard something different that day, which caused her to act different. Well, Peter heard something different that day. He heard Jesus, the one he trusted and has faith in, he heard him say, come on out. Well, what that did was that hearing put something in him. It started the process of faith. Peter didn't just jump out of the boat until he first heard, come. So, let me say it this way. The conception of faith, the beginning of faith, is the coming together of two things. Just like naturally, the coming together of two things to make a third. Well, the coming together of two things to make faith or to birth faith is you coming together with the Word. When you come together with the Word, faith is then birth. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do I mean by that? Well, what's the thing I always say? What gives, well, everybody, yell it out if you're confident. What is faith's mama? Julie, thank you. Someone's paying attention to me. Say it nice and loud. Knowledge is faith's mama. I know you all knew that. You just wanted to let her get it. Because this is her month, right? I mean, predicted the Super Bowl, calling out pastors' answers. I mean, you just wanted to let her have her time in the glory. I understand that. But you all knew that. Faith's mama is knowledge. And so knowledge gives birth to faith. But guess what? You don't get knowledge until you first hook up with the Word. You gotta get together with the Word. When you get together with the Word, something can be conceived. It's called faith, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I think about this way. Brother Hagin, who, you know, we read a lot of his books and things like that, and he started the ministry in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He's been gone since 2003 in heaven. But, you know, he suffered with an incurable blood disease, paralyzed in his body, heart condition, you know, just bedridden as a young child. And as a teenager, he thought, because, you know, the churches he grew up in, that's just the way it was. You know, that's your lot in life, right? You're sick, If God, you know, we know God can heal, but we're not sure God's gonna, or that's still for today. That's what he was taught, you know. And so he just laid there and had preachers come and visit him, you know, that would just kind of almost be praying over his death, you know, just thinking he ain't got a shot here. Well, he started to dig in the Word. And he found Mark 11, verse 24. It says, "Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." Well, he said, man, it ain't hard to desire to be healed when you're a teenager in a bed and you're sick your whole life. He saw that there, and he didn't know, but he saw, man, the Bible says, whatsoever things I desire, when I pray, if I believe, I'll receive it. Well, see, he had no idea that existed. And so for years, he laid in that bed. For months and weeks, he laid in that bed, incurable. Exactly what the doctor said. Until something showed up in his life. The Word of God came. He got with the Word and something was conceived. All of a sudden, something was there that he didn't know. Go with me real quick to Hosea 4 and verse 6. Hosea 4 and verse 6. Praise God. What I'm trying to say in a nutshell is that to be a faith giant, the Word has to be big in your life. Peter doesn't get out on the boat without the Word. That woman doesn't go pressing through it without the Word. Blind Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was when he was walking by. He doesn't get that without the Word. The Word starts everything. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Why? Because no knowledge, no faith. Why? Because knowledge is faith's mom. When you get knowledge, you get faith. When you get faith, you get victory. You get overcoming. You get the blessings. You get the promises of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. John chapter 8 and verse 32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. He said, "And you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free." Look at what the truth has the ability to do, but you have to know it. Why will the truth make you free? Well, when you get knowledge of healing, you know, sickness is bondage. You know, poverty's bondage. It keeps you in chains. It keeps you down. You know, depression, anxiety, and fear. That's all bondage, ladies and gentlemen. That's all bondage. And the Bible says when you know the truth, when you get the truth on healing, what happens? You get knowledge, you get faith. When you get faith, you get free of your sickness. Praise God. You shall know the truth. So if you don't know the truth, guess what? You're going to be kept in bondage. It all starts with knowledge of the Word. Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Ought to be more people here hearing this today.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I'm happy. I'll say that. When I preach, I say the darndest things, you know, and under the anointing, and I get out and I think, my God, did I say that? But, you know, lots of things that I help people with. An extra time would be solved if they just be faithful on the Wednesday and a Sunday.
Right. Come on.
It's just
Come
the truth. On. It's just the truth. They teach everything they need to ever hear on a Wednesday and a Sunday. And then, I'm glad to do it and love to help people. But my God, this is our feeding time. Amen. Teaching you how to be overcomers in life. I mean, you know what? It's like last week when I got on that crazy rant about inviting people to church. And I'm hoping that sunk in. I'm not seeing that it did, but I'm hoping that it starts to sink in. Praise the Lord. Is it okay if Pastor just spanks the sheep once in a while? It's all right, isn't it? I mean, do you know what Jesus said to Peter? He said his whole church left him, except the disciples. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, "Are you going too?" And Peter said, "Where would we go?" That ought to be your mentality. Where in the heck am I going to go? I'm getting fed here. Praise God. But anyways, I got in that yelling rant last week. And you know what's crazy to me is that people are so faithful to their jobs. 5-6 days a week. Won't get there on time, stay there 8, 10, 12 hours a day, and 1 hour and a half to hear from God and to come worship God is trouble for people. And yet people want God to move heaven and earth for them.
Stir it up, stir it up.
I mean, can we just be truthful here? I mean, like, where is the hunger? It's such a lack of hunger. Like, we have more reverence. You know, I have people that have left this church that have told me, "Pastor, I've never heard the Word preached like this." Not bragging on the preaching, but the content of it. Never knew this stuff. But you know, Pastor, my child's 10 years old, and you don't have anything for 10-year-olds, and so we need to go somewhere that... I say, what do you do with your kids in school?
Yeah, come on.
They're supposed to sit there in school and listen. Yeah. Like, does it bother you when your kid has to sit through an hour history lesson or an hour math lesson? Like, we have more reverence for our jobs, more reverence for school than the things of God.
Yeah.
It's just the truth, and yet people want God to move. Now, listen, you get hungry and faithful and sold out to your local church, things will start changing in your life.
Amen.
You'll start getting blessed. Praise God. It's just the truth. And it's frustrating to see the lack of reverence towards the things of God. And yet, you know where people are in for surprises when they stand face to face with Him. And you know what? Like my pastor always says, it's better to hear it from me than to hear it from him.
Right.
It's just the truth.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
2 Peter chapter, anyways, we'll get off of that. And you know, when I say that, I said that tongue in cheek. That was only a week ago. I know maybe you're working on inviting people. I understand. There's a grace there. But you know what? We ought to be out there evangelizing the world.
Yes, that's right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Even if you just say, hey, come on to my church. My church is 10 o'clock on Sunday. You'd be blessed. I mean, I'm not going to kill you to do that. Praise God.
Right.
2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Just trying to show you something here. Grace and peace. Now you might say, Pastor, I don't see you inviting people. Well, let me just address that real quick. Because the Bible says my job is to train you to do the work of the ministry. That's what the word says. And you know what? I don't even know if I should say it. No, what I'm about to say might be really inappropriate. So I got to be careful what I say. I'll just say it this way. Sheep begat sheep. Sheep produce sheep. The shepherd doesn't produce sheep. And I just say, maybe some places. They do. I know. You know, weird things. Yes, I know. Maybe I shouldn't have said that, but it's just the truth. Weird things. And that's, we get weird thinking in the church. And I'm not trying to be funny, but we get weird thinking in the church. The pastor ought to do anything. No, that's backwards. The pastor doesn't reproduce sheep. The sheep reproduce sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. This is the truth. That's the way I could, only way I can get it across. It's your job to do that. Praise God. So let's do it.
Amen.
You know, I was one of the, when I went to the Jamestown church, I was one of the people in the church took that serious. Man, everyone I could talk to say, man, there's a place you could get healed. There's a place you can hear. A lot of people said no, but a lot of people came. And, you know, some of them are serving at that church now faithfully in the ministry. They needed someone to tell them. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied. What's grace and peace? All the blessings you need. Unto you through what? The knowledge of God. Why? Because when you get the knowledge, you get faith. You get faith, you get victory, you get grace and peace. And of Jesus our Lord, verse 3, according as his divine power has given unto us all things. His divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So the Bible says all things that have been given to us pertain to life and knowledge, our life and godliness, have been given to us through knowledge. Faith and godliness, or life and godliness, all that we need comes through knowledge. Why? You get knowledge, you get faith. Praise God.
Amen.
And so number one, the conception of faith. If you want faith for healing, you want faith for finances, faith for the things to change in your life. Number one, you're going to have to get with the Word.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to spend time with the Word and become intimate with the Word. I'm not saying that to be weird. I'm being truthful. You got to become intimate, have an intimate relationship with the Word of God. And then something gets conceived. Faith gets conceived. Praise God. But then after that, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop at the conception of it. Then there has to be a gestation period. Go to Romans 10 and verse 17. What do I mean by a gestation period of before faith is born? Because, you know, a child gets conceived in a mother's womb, but inside the stomach there, but they don't get delivered or born right away.
That's right.
They get conceived. Well, faith can be conceived, but then it's got to be nurtured. What do I mean by that? Because the hearing of the Word equals the conception, but then there has to be a nurturing to get that thing to grow. It says in Romans 10 and verse 17, it says, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing. It'll first arrive on the inside through the conception of the hearing of the word, but then to get faith to actually be on the scene, you have to hear it and hear it. Say, Pastor, I don't know. Why can't we just hear it one time? Well, isn't it interesting? The parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4 talked about four different types of ground, and three out of the four never received one thing from God. 75%. But guess what? They all heard the word. So I guess the hearing of it just doesn't automatically equal faith. There has to be more to it. How many of you have ever, I think about classes that I would go to and things like that, or I remember one of my majors was speech pathology. It was one of the many things I was on the Mike Anderson tour of discovering himself in life. I didn't know what the heck I was going to do, and that was one thing. Well, I went to a couple classes, and I heard some things about speech pathology and things. You know that I have no idea. If someone came to me with someone with a speech problem or something, I'd have no idea how. And they said, well, wait, you were in some of those classes. You heard it. So what? You know, you can hear that pastor say, you know what, the Bible says in Psalms 103, verse 3, that God wants you healed. Well, I said that doesn't mean that faith's going to come on the scene with you. There has to be a gestation period. What does it have to be? A hearing and hearing. Praise God. Not just one time. Not just a few times. Over and over and over. Because when you're hearing it over and over, you're nurturing that which was conceived on the inside of you. Praise God. Now, Joshua 1 and verse 8. We're going to go back to some familiar verses here. You know, it wouldn't surprise me. I'm not saying this is going to be the case. But it wouldn't surprise me if I taught this series and the last series again before the year's over. In fact, if it was up to me, which it's not, it's up to him. And unless he tells me do what you feel is best. And that happens at times. He tells me you're the pastor. You know what the sheep mean. You give it to him. But a lot of times he'll just tell me exactly what to preach and where to go and what people need. But if it was up to me, you know what I'd be preaching right now? The same thing, baptism, the Holy Ghost series. And I would honestly, what I would do is I'd preach 8 weeks on it, and I'd start another 8 weeks. Let's see, 52 divided by 8 is what? Let's see, 8 times 6 is 40. So we'd have almost six times and some extra services. I'd preach that series all year long, over and over. Why? To drill it into people how important. This faith series, that wouldn't bother me to, if we go 6-7 weeks, just to start it again, to keep going over, until it just gets ingrained and branded in you. You know, my son, it'd be awesome if he just got to tell your kids to do something one time and they did it. Wouldn't that be great? But you know what I found? It's over and over, the repetition, over and over. Hey, do this. Hey, didn't I tell you to do this? Do this. Don't forget to do this. And then you see some doing of it. It's the same way with people in the church. You know, one of the reasons our Wednesday night has grown to be strong is because I harped and harped and harped and harped on it over in that storefront about the importance of being here, the importance of coming to church, the importance of hearing the word. And people finally branded in them, and they took to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Joshua 1 and verse 8. So let's see here. Again, if it was just because, well, I'm just going to listen to it one time. No, you've got to be intimate with the word. You got to nurture that which was conceived in your. You know, when a mom gets pregnant, you know, they put her on vitamins. They eat certain things. You know, this, stay away from this. Why? They're trying to create an environment inside the womb that's as healthy and productive as possible to make that baby strong and develop the way that baby needs to be. You shouldn't just eat anything. You shouldn't just put any old thing in your body. You shouldn't just live any old way when you have a baby on the inside of you. Right? There's certain things that you ought to do. It's the same way. You want faith to be delivered and on the scene, you got to do something. Well, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein, there it is, in the word, day and night, that you observe to do according to all that is written, for then shall you make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Well, why will you be prosperous and have good success? Because the spending of time in the word, day and night, day and night, day and night, think of all the knowledge that's coming. Yeah. Think of all the faith. Because remember, it's a spiritual law. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So just the if you'll just, the pure submission to the hearing of the word will cause faith to show up in your life. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he says, day and night, day and night. Go to Psalms 1 and verse 1. The hearing of the word. Amen. Psalms 1 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. I'm checking something here real quick before we... Just bear with me. Praise the Lord. One second here. Psalms 1 and verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." There it is, the word of God. And in his law, he does meditate day and night. Day and night. See, we got to get to the past the point of religion being in the word and understand it's good for us to be in the word. You say, "I've heard you say this over and over again." Well, then start doing it. Start doing it over and over again. Praise God. He said, "In his law, meditate day and night." I'm not saying you're not doing it, but make sure you're doing it. Keep doing it. And he, that person that's in the word constantly... Why? Because when you're in the Word, what does the Bible say? Faith will come. Amen. But remember, this is important, that there's measures of faith. God said, "I've given to each man a measure of faith." Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing. The way to make your faith grow is more hearing. So when you're doing day and night, and you're in his law day and night, and he says he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither. Whatever he does will prosper. The reason is because you're hearing it day and night, day and night. Your faith on the inside is growing, growing, growing. So then when there's delivery and faith shows up on the scene, it's strong and powerful and can do what it needs to do. Hallelujah. It's just so connected here. All this stuff is so connected. Go to Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. I remember coming in. Well, you know, I was in church my whole life, but I believe that before January 10th, 2002, if I would have passed away, I wouldn't have gone to heaven. I had heard about it, but never really accepted Jesus into my heart or made him my Lord. But I grew up in church. I went to a Christian school till third grade. And I was around it with my grandma and my dad and things like that, but I didn't really know too much. And then I came into, got born again and went to Bible Christian Fellowship, Pastor Michael's church, before it was changed to Family Church, and didn't still know anything. And then I learned about healing, and I learned about prosperity, and I learned about peace and joy. And I thought to myself, "My God, if this stuff's available, I'm not going to go without anymore." But what was the reason that I was able to go down it? The knowledge came. The knowledge came. Praise God. Amen. Proverbs 4 and verse 20 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." So guess what? It's your job to have good attendance to the word of God. It's your job to incline your ear. We shouldn't have to go up and grab you by the ear and drag you to church and grab you by the ear and sit you in front of the Bible or, you know, whatever. Hallelujah. Praise God. I had somebody tell me this week, you know, they were getting it from the other side. You know, when I say the other side, I'm talking about the non-born again side. Then they were saying, "You know, this, you're taking this church thing too serious. You know, basically telling them you're doing too much with it. You listen to the word in your vehicle. You listen to your word at your job. You listen to your word when you get home." The person said to me, and they're telling me, "You know, I'm just too fanatical and radical about this." And they said, "Pastor, all I'm doing is what you told me to do. You told me to make my car a Bible school. You told me to make my home a Bible school. You told me." I said, "Well, it's interesting that they would say that to you." I said, "That's the world's view and what the devil would want it to be, because the devil would want to make you feel bad that you're some weirdo and pull you off." I said, "But the Bible says day and night." The Bible says meditate day and night, in your car, out of your car, at your work, out of work. Praise God. I said, and the Bible says the good things are going to come to you. I mean, isn't that crazy? What are you going to believe, right? The word? And I'll tell you, the devil, he'll fight your word time. He will fight your word time. Praise God, he will. He said, incline. You know, he said, attend. It's not the people that skip the classes in school that get all the knowledge and usually do the best.
Right.
It's the ones that are there, taking notes, listening, paying attention, going back over the notes. You know, the ones that are reviewing it, getting it down on the inside of them, that when test time comes, they're ready.
That's right.
They have good attendance. Well, it's the same thing. Usually when test time comes for Christians at times, you know, they're not ready. They're not ready for the test. They're not ready to take the test. Why? They didn't have good attendance.
Right. Come on.
They weren't there to hear it. They weren't there when God was giving out mail. Praise the Lord. I'm not talking about just church. I mean at home and everything. He said, incline mine ears. I say, there it is again. Let them not depart from your eyes. So I guess if you're a Bible person all day long, you're not crazy. You're biblical.
That's right.
Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. What did it start with, though? Not just hearing it one time. Good attendance. Inclining your ear. Night and day. Day and night. Not departing from your eyes. Do you see it? Do you see it? I remember I needed... I was dealing with condemnation pretty strong. And this was years ago. And I heard a message on condemnation. And the first time I heard it, man, that was my help. I knew it was my answer. Well, it's interesting that after I heard it the first time, I was excited for about 10 minutes. And then about 15 minutes on for the rest of the day, the devil started talking to me. Situations started talking to me. Circumstances started talking to me. People started talking to me. And it totally crushed everything that was in my heart. Well, wait a minute. I heard the word. Why didn't faith? Because faith doesn't just show up and grow and get strong by one hearing. It's over and over and over and over and over and over, getting it in you so strong. And so that's why I tell people, if you're struggling with receiving things like the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying with other tongues, listen to the live stream message where we did the Holy Ghost class. Read a book and read it over and over and over. Listen to it over and over and over. And faith will rise up for that, and boom, you'll release your faith, and you'll be shallow bobbing before you know it.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God, it's true. It's the truth. But he said, do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in your heart. Their life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Real quick, go to Acts 14. Yeah, we might be done early today. And everybody said?
No.
Who said amen?
No.
Bill?
No.
The sound guy? I led you into it. I was just being, you know, a mean pastor up here, trying to lead someone into the pit. Lead them into my trap. Praise God. Acts 14, in verse 7. Now, this is what we're going to say in closing. I would dare to say that everybody here has something in their life they'd like to see turned around. Whether it's a relationship, whether it's something with their children, something in their finances, something job, maybe a material item that they need, something physically, whatever. Fill in the blank. You believe in God for a child, believe in God for a spouse, whatever it is. There's word on all these things. This is what you need to do going out of here from this point on. It says, there they preached the gospel. And there sat a man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. So what's he need? He needs healing. Well, he needs a miracle, but once again, a miracle comes, and he needs to heal that too. It said, the same herd, Paul speak.
Amen.
Now, we don't know how often he heard Paul speak. It said he preached the gospel there. We don't know how often he was doing it, but we know this day it said, the same herd Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up right on your feet. And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw what had been done, they lifted up their voices, saying, in the speech of Laconia, the gods have come down to just like some men, whatever. We don't need to read all that part. But anyways, the Bible said that the same heard Paul speak, and Paul, after he was speaking, looked at the man and perceived or got a sense, he's got faith to be healed. So we know, we can infer, what was Paul preaching on this day? Healing. Because you don't get faith for healing when you're preaching about finances. You want faith for healing, you got to feed on healing scriptures. You need faith for finances, you need to feed on financial scriptures. I remember when we went into that test, when I left the job and started the church, we were all that money down. The first thing I did when I realized this is going to rise or fall on me, when my pastor said, I'm not giving you money, you're going to have to get yourself out of this, but when you do, you'll be able to teach other people and different things like that. The first thing I did was went into Philippians 4:19.
Yeah.
And I got, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And I just stayed on that verse and I ate that verse and I broke that verse down word by word and I meditated and I paced the floor and I kept it in my mind, wrote it on a card, you know, kept it in front of me. Whenever a thought would come, I'd go to that verse. Why? Because I needed faith for finances. So how do you get faith for something? Well, you gotta join up with the word, then something gets conceived, and then you go through a gestation period where you water it by hearing, and then all of a sudden you realize faith's ready to be born.
Yeah.
And that when faith is born, faith can do what faith can do.
That's right.
Or I should say faith can do what faith does then, once it's born on the scene. Then it can, because listen, there's situations, and we say that we know this, that there's measures of faith. That must mean there's different measures of problems. If there's great faith, little faith, much faith, no faith, light faith, unfeigned faith, all these different measures that they put on faith in the Word, it must mean that there's different levels of tests and trials. What do I mean by that? Well, I know this, that if all of a sudden I had a need of $500, that would take a level of faith if you didn't have it. But if you needed $5,000, well, you're going to need a different level of faith for $5,000 or $50,000 or $500,000 or $5 million. It's going to take a different level of faith. Well, you're going to need more faith. How do you get more faith? Hearing the Word. Some of your situations that you're going through, listen, a casual hearing, Pastor Mike said one time about healing, okay, well, I'm going to be healed then. Well, maybe you grasp it that good and you believe it that good, but most of the time, that's not how strong faith comes. Because we see that in the Word. Day and night, they'll be like a tree planted. Day and night, they'll be prosperous. Not let it depart from their eyes. They're the ones that have health and life to their flesh. And so, if you're going to become a faith giant, the Word is your partner. You can't have great faith without the Word. Number one, it gives you the permission that you can even have what you're believing for. It tells you it's okay, right? Well, how did Abraham get to a place where his body didn't matter? Because he had a Word. He said, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. The only reason Abraham first at all had any faith at all was because God said, you're going to have a child. Then the natural didn't matter because he had, just like Peter, the natural didn't matter. The Word trumped it. Praise God.
Right.
So if you want to be a faith giant, we'll close right there. Number one, get scriptures on what you're believing for. Get scriptures on what you're believing for and feed on that what? How much? Day and night, yeah. Night and day. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of you for their life, unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. What is this stuff? Basic, but it's life-changing.
Amen.
It's basic, simple
Amen.
Stuff that by the doing of it, see, the problem is the doing of it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not hard to figure it out. It's the problem is actually, okay, you know what? I'm going to shut that TV off, and instead of watching 30 minutes of some sitcom that doesn't mean anything, I'm going to actually feed on the Word for 30 minutes. I mean, can you imagine?
Yeah, that's so good.
I mean, Instead of you know, sleeping in a little bit extra, I'm going to wake up 15 minutes early, and I'm just going to feed my faith.
Yeah.
Feed my faith. How bad do you want this, ladies and gentlemen? There's some things that need some great faith. Well, we know how to get great faith. Feed.
Amen.
This is like the most supernatural creatine protein shake around.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing just makes your faith muscles huge.
Yeah.
Praise
yeah.
God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word this morning. We are blessed and thankful for all that you've given, all that you've provided for us. We are so thankful that we have direction to be a faith giant. And Lord, that's what we need. There's certain things that are going to take quite an effort in the spiritual realm. But faith can do it all. Hallelujah. So I thank you, Lord, for the Word. We see that we need to have something conceived in our hearts. Well, to do that, we got to come together with the Word, and then faith will be conceived. And Father, we're going to water that which is conceived in our heart with more Word. And Father, we thank you that it's going to produce faith. And we're going to learn how to use our faith and how to make sure to get these things. Now that once we get faith, now we know we have to know how to use it. And that's what we're going to go on to. So thank you, Father, for this series. We're so grateful that you're teaching us how to do this and how to be victorious. We love you today. Can we just love on him for a second? I just feel in my heart we just should worship him for a second. Because honestly, ladies and gentlemen, the voice of faith is praise. The voice of faith is praise. And if you can't praise God, then you're not in faith. So let's praise him. Let's worship him. We praise you. I want you as an act of faith. This faith without works is dead. As an act of faith. That which you're believing God for. Now maybe you don't have that faith conceived in your heart yet. Maybe it hasn't grown in your heart. It's not ready to be delivered or released yet. But whatever it is you're believing God for, this series ought to be showing you, man, there's hope. There's hope. I want you right now to thank Him for what you're facing, that it's going to turn around. I want you to actually, by faith, thank Him that the finances are going to look different, that the situation is going to turn around, that the health is coming, that the job is coming, that the right car, the right house, the right spouse, that the baby is coming. I mean, maybe you don't have the faith and there's still doubt, but we can at least praise Him. You can praise your way to victory at times. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, that's turning. I'm doing this for myself right now. I thank you, this is turning. I thank you, it will not be the same. I thank you, it cannot stay that way. It has to turn in my favor. For you give me the desires of my heart, Father. You give me the desires of my heart. I'm your child and you love me. So, Father, I thank you. That situation's turning. I thank you, Father, it will never be the same. Father, I thank you. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. It's moving. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. I believe you. Abraham was strong in faith. He gave glory to God. If you can't praise God, what in the world's wrong with you? Hallelujah. Because faith has a voice. Faith has a voice. It's called praise. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Oh, thank you, devil, for telling me that it's been this way forever. That means it's just closer to coming. That just means it's closer than it's ever been before. So shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord. It's coming. It's coming. It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. It's changing. Yeah. It's changing. It's changing. Who here just recently, now don't miss this, come right forward by faith, don't even get in your head. Who here just recently found out something financially that it's looking like that's not going to be a good thing for you? I don't know what it concerns. I don't know if it's a job. I don't know if it's something with your business. I don't know if it's something that you own or anything. But who here just recently found out something financial and that's not looking like it's going to bid too well for you? If it's anybody, if it's an usher that's out in front, come forward if that's you. Come forward if that's you. If it's you, come forward right now. Don't miss this. There's an anointing on this. There's a word of knowledge that came up in my heart that just recently you just found out something. And hallelujah. Just come forward and line up next to each other right here. Praise God. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to lay hands on you. Now here's what the thing is. Now you know how to get faith for finances now. Get in the word and get finance. But we're going to break that. There's an anointing on here. One time I remember Dr. Dufresne, I was going through a financial situation. And I was struggling really bad. And he called it out, and I responded to it. He laid hands on me and broke that oppression there. Because there can be oppression at times. But then it was my job to go get in the Word, meditate on the Word. But we're going to break it. And so when God does stuff like this, it's because He wants to help you. He wants to bring change. So just close your eyes and worship Him. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you. Prosperity is your flow. And Lord, this might be... The report might be true, Father. I mean, it was true. There were cities, there were walled fortresses in the promised land. That's true. That was there. But that was just an evil report. And what you've all received up here, all four of you, that's just an evil report. That doesn't line up with what the Word says. The Word says it always works out for you. The Word said the money always comes. The Word says He meets and supplies your needs according to His riches and glory, which they never fail. They never run out. They never waste away. So that's just a lie from the enemy. So make sure you don't buy into that lie. Don't take that bait. Hook, line, and sinker there. No. I'm going to break that over you. But then, in the name of Jesus, you're going to go home and you're going to get in the Word and you're going to read the real report and you're going to start speaking it out of your mouth. Devil, that's not going to be that way. That's what the report might say, but I'm going to be like Caleb and Joshua. Yeah, it looks that way, but we're well able to overcome this. And you're going to say, I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what it looks like. The money's coming. The money's coming. The money's coming. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We break that over her and all the money will come. In the name of Jesus, we break that power. power of poverty over her. And we say the money's coming. That's just an evil report. In the name of Jesus, we break that over him. In the name of Jesus, we break that over her right now. Hallelujah. We say money come. We say money come. We say money come. Hallelujah. Money, you come. You come, money. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just worship him in the congregation. Let's wait on him and make sure there's nothing more that we need to do. We don't want to rush this, but we also don't want to put on anything. And so let's just wait on him for a second. Thank you, Father. We bless your name. That's just an evil report. That's just an evil report. That's just an evil report. It's the same. It works the same for physical things, too. You get a report from the doctor. That's just an evil report. Say, yeah, but it's true. I can feel it. I know. I know, but faith will turn it around. Abraham could feel his age. Abraham could see his age. Caleb and Joshua, they could see the people there. They could see the walls and the fortresses in the city. But they believe the word. They believe the word. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Let's all thank him for prosperity right now. Say, maybe you didn't get a report like that, but thank him for prosperity. Thank you for prosperity. We need funders. We need funders. We need funders. We need the body of Christ, the kingdom of God needs people to prosper. We need prosperers. Praise God. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, and magnify anything else. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now, I know, keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. I know everybody in here. Well, I'm just going to give the invitation because there's people listening, and I don't know everybody personally in here. But everybody ask yourself this question. If today were my last, thank you. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If that's you, and you say, I don't know if I would go to heaven, Jesus is your ticket to heaven. It's like you need a ticket to get into a ball game. Well, Jesus is your ticket to get into heaven. And all you got to do is believe in him. Then your heart will tell you, yeah, I know that he's real. I don't know, I don't understand all this, but I know he's real. Believe that he died and rose again. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody in here you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You never have done that before? Anybody want to receive Jesus? Just lift your hand high in the air if you've never done it. Anybody at all? Just lift your hand nice and high. Anybody at all want to receive the Lord? Father, I don't see any hands in here, but maybe somebody's listening now or in the future. If you are, just remember this. It's easy. It's simple. You call on the name of the Lord. Romans 10:13 says you'll be saved. That's it. Just call on his name. Just ask him. Say, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. Come into my heart. And then thank him for saving you. Then get hooked up in a good Bible-teaching church. Father, we're thankful for what took place here today. We say our lives will never be the same. We say our lives will never be the same. We say our lives will never be the same. We are going to choose a lifestyle of faith. We're going to look the devil square in the eye. We're going to tell him the money's coming, the healing's coming, the spouse is coming, the baby's coming, the job's coming, the vehicle's coming, the house is coming, the provision that you need, it's all coming. We bless you and praise you and magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, 6:30, you are dismissed.